Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crying before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit.
To All About Android, recorded live on March 27th, 2018. This is episode number 362. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Florence Ion.
And I am Ron Richards, and we are still Jason Howell-less. He's still on vacation.
Good for him.
That's okay. But that's okay. Yeah, good for him indeed. We called on our good friend of the show,
Tony Hannity. Tony.
Hey, guys.
Tony Hannity is back to join us. From Lazy Tech TV. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, I just noticed you paired your earrings to, or your spacers rather, to All About Android's green set.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
So and, appreciate it.
You're welcome. Definitely. I don't wear these every other day. Thank you very much for noticing.
Only on Tuesdays.
Of course.
Only on Tuesdays, which is All About Android Day.
Right.
So this week, we are definitely going to talk about Facebook. We are definitely going to talk about Facebook, the future of Android tablets, because, well, with today's little iPad announcement that happened earlier today, I'm sure we've got something to say on the Android side. I mean, come on now. We've been doing this for a while. We also have got new phones from Huawei and Xiaomi. And Ron, I saw your little Dylan McKay joke that you put in there.
I tried. Well, you just couldn't get over it. It's factual.
It is factual because we always talk about Dylan McKay usually, and that, for those who don't know, is of 90210 fame.
Yeah, I don't.
Let's give it context to the news.
To give it context for the news. There's no context here other than let's just jump into the news for the week.
Oops.
Oops.
One thing I hope nobody's keeping track of is how many times I've botched Android news.
You know what, Victor?
What was great is that you could hear the button clicks as he was trying to cue it up and do it. It was like a frantic click button.
Yeah,
push.
I think I said oops out loud, but that was in my head.
Oops. Oh yeah, no, I heard the oops. Yeah, you said that out loud. Anyway, so as Flo mentioned, I never thought I'd be able to talk about our good friend Dylan McKay here on All About Android, but sure enough, here we are. It's not the actual Dylan McKay, played by Luke Perry, but rather an Australian guy named Dylan McKay, and it all ties up with Facebook. So for the past couple of weeks, Facebook has been in the news due to the fact that a research organization called Cambridge Analytica took advantage of their access to Facebook's data and then aided some political campaigns here in the U.S. as well as abroad. It's kind of turning out to be a huge kind of scandal. I know a bunch of the All About Android community have hit us up on Twitter and other things saying, hey, are you guys going to talk about Facebook and Cambridge? Are you going to talk about Facebook? And up to this point, we weren't, because it really wasn't Android specific. Until it became Android specific.
Android specific.
Exactly. And that happened late last week, and then a couple of days ago. It's all been breaking. So I'm going to try to break it down as much as I can for you all. I know a lot of the audience have heard this already, but let's go over the facts and then we can discuss it. So last week, an Australian guy by the name of Dylan McKay, again, not Luke Perry, my idol, the inspiration for my
or Brenda Walsh's boyfriend.
Yes. So a user named Dylan McKay, after the news of Cambridge Analytica came out, he went over to Facebook and he downloaded the data dump that every user has access to on Facebook. You too, if you're on Facebook, you can go and download the complete batch of data that Facebook has on you. And he started poking around on it, and he found out that there was a record of the date, time, duration, and recipients of phone calls and text messages he'd made with his phone where the Facebook app was installed in the years of 2015 through 2016 were all in that data store, which is kind of freaky because a lot of the Cambridge Analytica thing, I know my sister hit me up and she's like, what kind of data did they have access to? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at first I assumed as, you know, just the, you know, the tech pundits that we are, I'm like, ah, just usage data. It's like what you liked, what you didn't like, all this sort of stuff. But now it's revealing that if you had installed Facebook on an Android phone between 2012 and 2017, it looks as if Facebook was keeping track of who you're calling, when you called them, how long you're on the phone for, how often you text them, et cetera. So once this Dylan McKay guy posted it on Twitter, of course, people started poking around. And friends of the show over at Ars Technica followed up on the story, followed up with Facebook, started asking them about it. And finally, Facebook then later did a blog post on the Facebook site, which basically admitted to the fact that Facebook did indeed store this data to help drive learnings within their app. So whether it's the Facebook app or the Messenger app or whatnot. And Facebook here in their blog post explains your call and SMS history and what they do with it. And so now this is, you know, directly from the Ars Technica article that covered this, which was a great article and great job of the guys at Ars. And they basically said that if you granted permission to read permission to Facebook to read contacts on any Android app, specifically before Android 4.1 Jelly Bean, that permission also granted Facebook access to call and message logs by default. So that permission structure was changed in the Android API mm-hmm. in version 16. Mm-hmm. But Android applications written to earlier versions of that API were still allowed until October of 2017. So roughly between 2012 and 2017 is the time period where Facebook's apps had access to that through the permissions allowances within Android. So now that's got a lot of people up in arms, a lot of people concerned. If you are a Facebook user and you're concerned about that, as I mentioned earlier, you can access your data log. You can go into Facebook and you can access your data. You can download that and see what they have on you. And then you can ask them to purge it. You can get rid of it. You can say delete it and remove it from their servers. Whether you trust them, whether it actually does that or not is up to you. But I think now more than ever, they're going to follow up on that and be good about it. But this has got a lot of people freaked out. And the question I have to you, Tony and Flo, is that was this a Facebook issue or an Android issue?
Well,
if this wasn't an Android issue, why wouldn't they have done this on iOS? Is there something on iOS that prevents them from? I mean, I'm assuming as much because it's already a very locked down system. So they're
The permission structure within Android allowed this level of access within the app. They stated that when you installed Facebook on your phone, it says upload your contacts so that they can use their friend recommendation algorithm. They match, okay, I know, you know, here's your list of people who are my friends and here's their phone numbers. Facebook knows, okay, here are these people and their phone numbers. They're also friends with these people. Let me recommend those.
Right. But that's not what I signed up for. I signed up for that. And that's what I'm not up in arms, but I'm very disgruntled about for the sheer fact that you're getting my SMS and as well as like call history. And that I can see being a huge data benefit to Facebook for one way or another, but that was not very clearly laid out. And I'm sure it was somewhere in the TNCs, but like me, you know, millions of other people are very, discouraged about this. And I don't know what the other option is other than, either dropping it or leaving Facebook altogether. But if there's anything else that Facebook could do, if they haven't already done so, to prevent this from happening. But it does lead the question, are other apps doing this?
Well, I think what was really interesting out of this story is I kept thinking about targeting an older API. Why would you do that? That in and of itself seems a little malicious in a way. Maybe not. Maybe malicious is too severe of a word in this particular case. But it's just such an oversight to develop an app towards an older API to try and continually gain access to this data set.
Unless you knew about the limitations or vulnerabilities of that API.
Yeah. And yeah. I do have to say that the other thing that sprung to mind was the fact that just a couple weeks ago on this show, we were talking about the fact that Google is going to be more, is going to be a little harsher with app developers, ensuring that like their apps are on the latest, you know, targeting the latest APIs and, you know, just kind of incentivizing developers to stay on task. And I feel like, wow, it's just now that that's happening, because now, I mean, and then this happened with Facebook and it was like, oh, that's why we really need this thing to happen. And yeah. it wasn't being enforced.
Well, so what's interesting, I think the API thing is interesting. And also this is the worst case scenario of the evolution of access controls for apps through the Android OS. I mean, so Tony, you asked why didn't this happen on iOS versus Android? Because iOS had stricter limitations on what apps can do and what data they can access, you know, that kind of Apple gate stuff. Android has been, you know, built out of open source, a little more Wild West. We've seen since, I mean, think about since 2012, that's 6 years ago. Right, that like the iterations and changes that have happened to the app API and security infrastructure within, you know, what apps can do and how they can access your data and you know, phones. If Facebook came out this year, they wouldn't be able to do this. Like if they were brand new on the scene, because of the way Android has evolved, they wouldn't be able to access this data. But because of the older APIs, because Android taking so long or short, depending on how you want to measure it, to evolve, it allowed this to occur. You know, now I get that people are upset about it, and I get that people are concerned about having that data. I mean, you know, you want to see when I called my mom? Fine. You know what I mean? Like it's not like I've got not anything to hide in that regard, you know, and I think that I do know people that work for the Facebook organization. And I do know that anything that they are doing, they're doing with the best interest in mind, for they want to create a great experience for users. And how can we do that? And if we can get data, we can do that. Unfortunately, the byproduct of that is Cambridge Analytica, which then takes advantage of that data and then uses it, you know, for nefarious, you know, reasons or for whatever, or however you want to judge that. I want to avoid the politics side of it. But either way, it's a mess. I think that Facebook is as much to blame as, honestly, as Google and Android is to blame on this.
Yeah, user Immigrant, and I think that's how you say, made a really good point in the chat. Just, you know, Facebook was maybe targeting an older API because of the fragmentation that was occurring around that time. I mean, if we're talking back to 2012, I remember 2012, I was, you know, using HTC Sense, and they would put all that weird little code into your, you know, into your contacts list to sync it with Facebook. Yeah. I remember that back then. I remember the different phones that I was using at that time and the way that they would ask for permissions. And I would just blindly go, yeah, allow, of course. I mean, I'm assuming you need it. I'm assuming I need it for some sort of reason. Yeah, this is definitely a Facebook and Android issue. But at the same time, I also am not surprised as an Android user. You know, when I found out the news, kind of like, well, makes sense that was going on. It's good to know that, you know, all my, you know, all the things that I thought was really happening were actually happening. So thanks for proving us right, tech companies. So the
interesting thing, though, is that if you go back to Facebook's blog post, they had to do this. And I'm glad to see Facebook, who are notoriously kind of secretive and not public or whatever. This blog post ends with, in very big letters, I don't know, Victor, if you want to pull it back up, we will never sell this data, and this feature does not collect the content of your text messages or calls. So that's important to know, that A, they're claiming they never sell this data. So going back to my sister's question, is what data did Cambridge Analytica get? There's a good chance they didn't get this information.
Right.
And secondly, they're not collecting, or so they're saying, they're not collecting the content of the text messages or calls. So they're not seeing any of that information. They're just seeing when it happened, how long it was, all that sort of stuff. And again, they say, you know, they confirm that's securely stored and that you're always in control of this information. So, I mean, my advice to anybody who's concerned about this, either, you know, go to Facebook, download your data file, see what they have, purge it if you want to, delete your account, move on. Up to you. For me, I have made the acceptance that it's really not the end of the world that they have that data. I don't even remember who I called in 2015. Like, it's not, you know, like, it's not a problem. I would like them to stop doing that, and it seems as if they have, or they definitely will be. But it looks like they stopped hitting that API as of 2017. So we'll see. But it's definitely, I do not envy the folks at Facebook these days. It's rough.
Yeah, it's a rough market out there. You know who else it's rough for? It's still rough for Google.
Just a bit.
Just a bit. I mean, you know, well, things happen when you are a giant company, especially when you're a giant company competing with another giant company for rights over Java code, which those of us who have been in this tech world know has been around for a really long time. A new ruling in a court of appeals reversed a 2016 ruling that Google doesn't owe any money to Oracle for the use of Java code in Android. So that has been completely turned over. Google could owe Oracle billions for the Java code. This case has been going on for nearly a decade. I kind of remember when this case was just starting out. It was when I was just starting out as a young little journalist. It could have far-reaching implications should Google have to pay Oracle for the use of the quote-unquote free and open Java APIs. And if it sticks, Oracle is looking for over $8 billion from Google, which, I don't know, wasn't the, how much, I don't know if anybody remembers off the top of their head the fines for the EU, but I'm just thinking about all of the fines that Google is currently facing right now for.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, even though you might make a lot of money off of, you know, search.
I feel like it's been a while since we've gone into the courtroom with any of this sort of stuff, and I hate these, you know, patents and all this sort of stuff and, you know, arguments over APIs. And I thought this one was settled, but to hear it's coming back and to the tune of $8 billion is just crazy town.
Just what does that do to all this Java code that is being, like, how much, I mean, if this is in everything, if it's the basis of everything that Google has made, of course it's $8 billion.
Right.
But it's supposed to be open, and right, so
it's supposed to be open, but I'm assuming open source means open without making billions of dollars, and then if you make billions of dollars.
Were they supposed to license it up front as well, too? Like, that's what I'm not very clear about, because if it was just copy-paste and not claim that they are borrowing this from Oracle and then claiming it all was made by them, then I would agree that that might be an issue. But if they... If this was just open and free and anyone can use it, then this shouldn't have been an issue in the first place. But that was, like you said, about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of like you put something out there and then you realize the value after somebody uses it and then you want a piece of that value.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Sun Microsystems, you know, the originators behind the Java code, they had intended for this to remain open and free to be used by anybody, which is why obviously it was employed for Android operating system. This, you know, and then once it started to gain popularity is when, you know, this started to hit the courtroom. $8.8 billion. $8.8 billion.
I can say that's a lot of Oreos.
It's a lot of Oreos. Yeah. That is a lot of Oreos.
A lot of Java, that's for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Android, going on to our next little topic, which is Android, more just sort of bad news from the Android world, which is Android Mouse.
This is really a rough week. Android.
Yeah, I don't know how else to sugarcoat it.
We're just going to get it out of the way and then do the nice stuff later.
Yeah, Android malware found.
If you had to sugarcoat it, you could use the lovely Peeps Oreos that we tasted before the show, which you can watch at the end of this episode.
The end of the show.
If you're watching the
video.
Oh, yes.
Great plug, Ron, because I keep forgetting that they come at the end of the episode, right? Because we do it at the beginning.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for later. But first, Android malware found inside seemingly innocent QR code apps, which is like, first of all, hold on. Who is still using QR codes?
A lot of people.
I was going to ask that. But don't at we least have 500. QR codes?
I mean, yes. We have QR
anything.
Codes. It's true. Also, a lot of smart home accessories use QR codes for easy connection. So yes, people are using it. But I wanted to put it out there because it is QR codes are a technology of the past that have managed to somehow come here with us in the future, you know? So
it's going to stick around.
It's going to stick around. No, it's one of those technologies. It's going to stick around so much.
Wait a minute. Before we get into this, first off, this story says 500,000 people got hit with this. So not a lot of people are using it. And Flo, I get you don't like QR codes, but it's not like QR codes are MS-DOS, right? Like,
you're right. I should lay off a little on the QR code hate.
a little heavy on the gas pedal with making fun of QR codes.
I'm sorry, QR codes, if I hurt your feelings. It's just, why are people putting you on billboards on 101? I don't know, because nobody's going to sit there and scan it. But anyway.
Unless there's a lot of traffic.
I mean, I was also just thinking that in my head as well. Unless there's a lot of traffic, yeah. Which, anyway. So Sophos Labs found an ad-spawning malware strain, which, by the way, I just want to say the strain is just great. It's called /hiddenad-aj. So it's spelled /HIDDN AD-AJ. So it's a beautiful, very easy name.
It's very easy to remember.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It slipped into Google Play through an innocent-looking QR code and Compass apps. So maybe you've seen these apps. I've even seen, I think, some of these apps pop up in my in my desperate attempt to find anything.
The thumbnails do look very familiar, especially the one on the right. It reminds me of the more popular QR code, like Easy QR code or something like
easy,
that.
Yeah, Easy or QR code 123.
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe another app that we've used. Yeah. The Google team has since pulled these malware-laden apps from the Google Play Store. And, of course, this is your annual, monthly, weekly, whatever reminder to be careful when you're downloading things away from the store.
I'm surprised with all the updates that Google has done with the embedded camera that you find like on the Pixels and whatnot. They haven't implemented a QR reader.
Or Google Lens.
Exactly.
Why doesn't Google Lens do this for us?
Hello.
I mean, isn't there a native Microsoft app that just does the
Office
QR code? Yeah, Office Lens does the QR code. Why doesn't Google Lens
use Office Lens?
You wouldn't have to worry about crooks infiltrating.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it just shows that given any platform or any method of transferring data, there are people who are going to figure out how to use it maliciously.
Right.
That's what this proves. Even QR codes are not safe from malware.
Even the aging QR code.
So the QR code, by the way, is over 20 years old. But quick pop quiz, Tony Flo. Do you guys know what the Q and the R stand for?
Question relay?
No. Good guess, though.
Flo? No, I have no idea.
Stands for quick response.
Oh. It is quick.
So there it is. I found that out in the FAQs on QRcode.com by the inventor which is hosted by DensoWave, the inventor of the QR code.
Okay, I'm sorry to DensoWave.
DensoWave
for disparaging the name of the QR code.
Is that
by the way?
This is
fascinating. By the way, Victor, in our chat, I'm giving you a link. So the QR code was invented in 1994.
Wow.
And was established as an international standard by the ISO in 2000.
It's an international. I'm not even an international standard.
they created a 20th anniversary video that I can't play because it's an old version of Flash. But yeah, look at that.
That's great.
QR code a go-go. I love it. Anyway, so let's respect the QR code and its 24-year legacy.
For disparaging the name of the QR code on today's All About Android.
I don't really.
Thank you, Tony.
I think it's like the environment that we're in. I mean, let's be honest. You and I are here in the Bay Area, and like everything now is going to like NFC. That's the new. That's the newest kind of.
Or Bluetooth LE.
That too. Exactly.
Beacons and
Bluetooth LE.
Yeah.
LE Bluetooth. Yeah.
I mean, I've had a number of instances where I've had to tell, let's say, an older generation how the QR codes work, but having them download a separate app to do it just makes them.
Which maybe has malware.
Can you just text me the URL? I'm like, okay, I'll just do that. Fine.
Right. That's the problem is that for some reason, to your point back about the Google, camera app, if it was native to the phones, I think that it would have a much extended life than we do currently have.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's unfortunate. But at least we're stopping the malware. So good job, Google.
Stop the malware.
And our final little bit of news is that the folks over at XDA confirmed that as of March 16th, Google is now blocking GApps or Google Apps, the suite of apps available on Android, from uncertified devices from OEMs. But it is still allowing access to users who use custom ROMs. So basically, Google has warned manufacturers that they need to follow a specific set of rules under their compatibility definition document. And an OEM or manufacturer must follow this compatibility definition document to pass what they call their compatibility test suite so they can be allowed to preload their devices with Google apps and services. Up to this point, Google has been very lax on this access, pretty much giving it to anyone. But now what they're doing is they're cracking down on OEMs that are not passing the compatibility test suite. And when people open up their phone, they get a message saying that they're being blocked from all the Google apps. So this is a step in the right direction of, or I don't know, it's a step in the direction of making sure all the manufacturers are applying or following the best practices and standards that Google's setting out. But if you're a custom ROM person, like if for some reason, if you're still using Lineage or some of the other various custom ROMs, you can get around this. All you've got to do is go to google.com/android/uncertified. And there you can enter your Android ID, which I believe is the IMEI for your device. And Google will whitelist you and allow you access to use Google apps on your custom ROM on your phone.
Nice. So, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice that they allow the custom ROM support. I wonder what this is going to do to OEMs and third-party manufacturers a lot in, you know, Asia and things like that who may or may not be following.
Yeah.
It's going to create a Google wall. This is the beginning of the Google wall, friends.
The G wall. No? Okay. Never mind.
That got extreme quickly.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you got to put a fence around it at one point. You know, you can't just let the cows run across the pasture all the time because they're just going to run away.
You really drove that metaphor pretty far.
You got to keep them at home, man. And this is Petaluma, so it really works here.
That's true.
So, Ron, shall you lead us into our first ad of the night?
Yes, we're going to thank our first sponsor, and then we want to thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, if you've ever bought a house, if you've ever gone through the mortgage experience, you've realized that the entire experience has not kept up with the times at all. It was dated, and it really needed a client-focused technological revolution. It needed to be disrupted, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And best of all, Rocket Mortgage is powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for you for which you qualify and find the one that's right for you. And trust me, I've been through the mortgage process. I've been through the refinancing process. It's a nightmare. I wish Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans was around when I was doing it years ago. It would have made my life so much easier just because this tool and this application is so awesome. So Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Thanks, Rocket Mortgage. Yay. All right. That said, let's get into the hardware.
Yeah, man. Hardware.
Hardware.
So the much maligned hardware vertical of tablets.
Yes.
Has been, I feel like recently a lot of people have been claiming that they're doomed, that the end is nigh. Although not a week goes by without someone on Twitter asking me what the name of my tablet is, the Asus ZenPad 3 S10 that I love. but I got to admit, Google debuted the first Chrome OS tablet, and now I'm wondering, this might be the tablet of the future here.
Mm-hmm.
So the Acer Chromebook Tab 10, priced at $329. It's a 9.7-inch 2048x1536 display, which is the same dimensions as the iPad. It's got front and rear-facing cameras, 9 hours of battery life, an OP1 processor, 4 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, USB-C. It's got an expansion slot and a headphone jack. And it's got Wacom-branded stylus support as well, built right into the device for you know, creative types who want to draw with your tablet. What do you guys think of this tablet? Do you think this is a solid entry to kind of resuscitate the tablet market?
Yes.
Tony, what do you think? Wow, Flo thinks so. Wow.
I'm so excited for this. I think this is exactly where we should have been going with this for a long time. And I have to say, major kudos to Acer for putting the stylus right into the tablet, because the Samsung Tab S3, which is, I mean, it's supposed to be a premium tablet, it's supposed to compete with your Surfaces and your iPad Pros. I mean, that stylus, that S Pen, does not integrate with the device, so like you have to buy like a sling for it or whatever, or pencil pouch. I like the idea of just this. I just want a tablet, and maybe I want a stylus sometimes, so I can do my digital coloring books. You know, my mandalas, which help me, you know, really come at peace. I'd love to be able to do this on this Acer. What is it? Tab 10.
Yes.
Chromebook Tab 10. I mean, it even has like a really easy name to say. And also just the Chromebook interface, the Chrome OS interface, I think works for this form factor as well.
Is it getting better for being touch friendly as a Chrome? Because I know isn't yours touch?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I haven't touched the Chromebook for about
But the touch panel has a lot to do with the touch panel that was put in to this, right? So the touch panel that's on this Acer Chromebook could be very different than the one that's...
Well, in terms of an operating system, I guess is what I'm getting at. As an operating system, is it getting like the apps and everything, the windowing and whatnot, multi-window, is it getting as friendly as we would want it to be on a tablet?
It's friendly enough. It's friendly enough that I can edit with two windows open at the same time.
So
that makes sense.
I'm assuming that this
is snap too, you know.
Right. And I'm assuming this is going to be one of the Chrome OS tablets that will support Android apps as well too. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, so. I'd certainly hope so.
Well, that's a good point, because actually, if you go to the sub story, there was a recent post on the Chromium discussion board that indicates that Chrome OS is going to completely skip Android Oreo version 8 and support Android P version 9 when it arrives later this year. So the merging of Chrome OS and Android is continuing with this version skip, where Chrome OS is going to fold in Android P and just completely skip over Android O, which is, I thought, was very interesting.
This makes so much sense. Why try? No, honestly, this makes so much sense. I am very glad. I do have to say, though, giving Acer this launch, I mean, why not try and have? I guess Google's going to wait either till I/O or until next October, or until October, when I'm assuming the next Pixel 3 or whatever would come out. I'm assuming that's when they would announce like their own, you know,
Pixel Tab.
Yes, like a Pixel Tab or something of the sort.
Yeah.
Who knows? I just really love this. It makes so much sense. I think about the tablet, the experience that I have here on Chrome OS on this little Chromebook, the Chromebook of the Asus Chromebook Flip. You know, the dock at the bottom really makes sense for this interface. You can put like the apps that you use the most. It's not that big, you know, empty screen that you would get with Android beforehand, where it would just be like this giant home screen with that you'd have to just fill in, you know, with things. Like it's an actual desktop interface in some senses.
So today Apple announced the new cheaper iPad that also supports Apple Pencil. It doesn't have smart connectors for the keyboard or anything. Do you think that in your frame, do you think that this would actually be a good competitor to that, or does this have to match the same price as the iPad?
Oh, I don't know yet. It depends on the stylus. Ultimately,
yeah. I mean, you said this was integrated, right? The stylus.
Yeah. But it depends on the stylus, because a lot of the reason people love the iPad is because the Apple Pencil gives them, especially my artist friends, visual artist friends, they love the way the Apple Pencil feels. Yes, right. Feels.
It doesn't feel like a stylus.
It feels like an art utensil rather than a stylus. And I think
that's what I'm afraid of.
That's fair.
Yeah, when it comes to like note taking, is no big deal. But I guess because this is more aimed at not so much the artistic individual, and more so for the K-12, and they just need to do a little bit of doodles. You know, they're using
the casual user,
but they're also using like the AR functionality with AR Expeditions.
Yeah.
They can, look, a panda, and they can circle with the stylus. Yeah. And they're probably very inexpensive for the school to replace if they ever lose it, which they will lose it. I mean, this could definitely be a good entry into that level compared to some of the other.
It's way cheaper than the Chromebook Pixel.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, that's my question is that, so first off, I wanted to, Flo, you noted the name, the Acer Chromebook Tab 10.
Yes.
I don't know why Android tablets have to have this arcane algorithm to their names with all them, especially after trying to remember ZenPad 3S10. Like, oh my God, like just call it a Chromebook 10. Like, we don't even need Tab. Like, that's just, you know, it's just a good brand name. But the question is $329 the right price point for this? Right. iPads are more expensive. It's cheaper than an iPad. I know when I was looking to buy my Asus 3S10, I was looking for sub $300. I feel like for a tablet, I want to spend somewhere between $150 and $300.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do. Yeah. I mean, if I see a $500 price tag on a tablet, I'm like, no, I might as well just buy a Windows computer at that point. I think this is going to open the floodgates for a new category of devices that we're going to see a lot of this year. I think this is just the beginning, folks.
Well, so I know last week you and his name escapes me. But the guest that you were talking to last week, you were kind of
Cody.
Yes. Cody, thank you. You were muddling. You're muddling over, you know, the future of tablets, then talking about, you know, the fuchsia and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What other developments, I mean, have we seen that Google is really doing to promote Chromebook or make it go forward to be the ultimate desktop or tablet experience?
Well, that's funny. It's funny you bring that up because I wanted to mention there's an article on Slash Gear that I saw that was a little bit of an op-ed piece that on the heels that JC Torres wrote on the heels of the iPad announcement, the most recent iPad announcement, basically making the case for why Android tablets need to survive. And, going kind of point by point by the reason why Android needs tablets to be there and what they can do with it. But, Tony, that's a great question as to what is Google doing to promote the form factor. And at this point, I think it's just Chrome OS, and that's not a lot to the public facing. I really think it's a bit of a sleeping dog at this point. But at some point, it's going to wake up. And if it's going to wake up either with Fuchsia or with Chrome OS or maybe at the next hardware event later this fall or whatever, I feel like Google's going to try tablets again because I don't think the device form factor it truly is dead or needs to die.
The form factor is the key word there. It's the form factor, not the software.
Yep.
Do you think so? Because I still see a lot of apps that are just not optimized for anything bigger
Hold on. Google I/O didn't happen yet. We still got a little bit of time.
But you're right. Time that
not even Instagram works on
the
Chrome
time
OS.
That we've wasted that Google's quote unquote wasted is that where they could have been making a lot of headway into kind of, you know, cutting back the huge divide between iPad and Android tablets have been years. You know, Apple made their own mistakes, and that's great. But Google,
and that's great.
But Google hasn't really made their own like advancements. And every time Google I/O comes around, okay, maybe not every time, but a lot of the times when Google I/O comes around, I'm waiting for the next big whapam. And I'm just, for the past 3 years, I just not have seen it, at least for the tablet experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, you gotta meet your expectations when you're expecting a whapa. Because a whapa doesn't happen every day. I mean, it's like Halley's Comet. Every now and then you get a whapa. But I that could be an episode title, but I don't know how to spell it.
Once
a year, WAPA. But to your point, though, didn't Google just make a very large strategic investment, barely acquisition of HTC?
Yes. Yeah. Do we all remember the Nexus 9? Ron's last favorite tablet.
Yes, exactly. Like, do we think that there's some knowledge share or some information to be gleaned from HTC really putting a shot in the arm in Google's hardware capabilities, where maybe that WAPA could happen at some point?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, waiting. Look at this phone, the Pixel 2, which was made alongside HTC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, time will tell. I think this Acer Chromebook is an interesting entry point. Curious to see what else comes this year. But enough about tablets. Flo, tell us about crazy Chinese phones.
Of which there are many, to be fair. So this week we've got Xiaomi making headlines, which, to be fair, Xiaomi is typically making headlines weekly at this point, I feel like, because they're such a big player. So they are going right after Apple, which I guess is everybody, with their new phone everywhere else but the United States. probably for a lot of obvious reasons. So this is the Mi Mix 2S. Look at that. Look at that thin bezel. See, it's just enough bezel for those who are looking at the screen. There's just enough bezel that you can grab onto the sides, you know, if you just need to a little bit. It's 5.99-inch screen. I don't know why you couldn't just make it six. But we're going to just go with that. 18:9 ratio, like our beloved LG V30s and our beloved Samsungs and basically what everybody's doing. Android 8.0 Oreo. Snapdragon 845 on the inside, nice little Qualcomm processor in there, which makes it, I guess, if this phone is going everywhere else but the US, it means it's going to Europe and Canada. Canada's going to get a Xiaomi phone, maybe. 256 gigabytes of storage and 8 gigs of RAM, or 64 or 128 gigabytes and 6 gigs of RAM. So that's 3 tiers of storage and 2 tiers of RAM.
And no notch.
And no notch.
No notch. It's surprising to see a phone without a notch.
Thank goodness. No card slot. So no expansion slot. Dual 12 megapixel rear camera with f1.8 aperture and a f2.4 aperture. So that's the second camera. Optical image stabilization. 5 megapixel front facing camera. No headphone jack. Because again, it's a courageous
headphone jack
thing to
is
do.
Dead.
Yes.
I'm getting over it.
And that. But there is a 3.5 millimeter to USB-C dongle included, which is always appreciated. A rear fingerprint sensor, which is great. We definitely love that. 3,400 milliamp battery pack. Black and white is the color scheme you'll be able to pick. And it'll cost $527 in China coming next week and other markets to follow. So my next question is to you, Tony. Are we going to hop the border to go get ourselves a Xiaomi phone?
No, but we can send Mateo out there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this got Mateo written all over it.
Border at all. Oh, that's way easier.
Dude, let's do that.
Yeah.
I thought the aggressiveness of Xiaomi targeting Apple with this and saying this phone is better than the iPhone X at half the price is really interesting because... Right, because like we're talking about the $1,000 phone. Like, is the flag is a flagship now $1,000? And Xiaomi, you know, putting a stake in the ground, saying no, it's not. And then that begs the other question: is this a flagship worthy phone? Like, Flo, you look at this stuff way more than I do. Do those specs, you know, add up? Do you think that this is something that, you know, could potentially, you know, given the rumors that Xiaomi is going to come to the U.S. at some point, do they have the chops to compete on the level with Apple and Samsung?
Yeah. I mean, if it's got the latest processor in it, like, people know the Qualcomm name, those who are concerned with specs, that is. And it's a really pretty phone, which is another thing that I think is really going to attract people, is the relative prettiness of it. And I know that seems like such a silly thing to say, but when you're comparing that next to the iPhone X, that looks like a really nice device.
So, I mean, a lot of this marketing talk reminds me of OnePlus. Because OnePlus was like, we're the flagship phone killer. And when it came out, it took like maybe 3 iterations for it to really kind of be in that area of flagship phone killer. So is this, compared to the latest OnePlus, do you think that this will beat that one out? Because the OnePlus you can buy here relatively.
No, because OnePlus is an easier name to know than Xiaomi.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think it's another branding thing.
Yeah.
I got to use this phone to see how it works before I can make that sort of assessment anyway, because it looks nice, but until you actually use the darn thing, you don't really know what it's going to be like.
Not a fan of the camera at the bottom, but...
That's another good thing we didn't
know. I
can get
over that. Might take me a week or two. Do selfies like this.
Yeah,
well, that's a sign that you should stop taking selfies, Tony.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think the selfie is a beautiful art form. But that's no, a conversation.
I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
You guys are better than that.
See you guys in 10 years at my gallery opening.
I took one today. That's all.
Taking all with smartphones. Anyway, we've got another Chinese brand also making some splashes with a new phone this week.
Well, the question was that if the flagship phone is $1,000 now,
yes,
Huawei's got something to say about that.
Yes. So the kicker there is Huawei today, if you were checking social media, announced a $2,100 device, the P20. So we're not going to see it in the United States. So, you know, this one has a notch. Yep.
Notch
by the
friendly.
Way. This one is notch friendly. It's a notch at the top for the camera and a thick bottom bezel for those of you who still need a little bit of something, you know, to hold on to because.
A little junk in the trunk.
Yes, a little junk in the trunk.
or a fingerprint scanner. Either way.
Either way.
6.1 inch display, 18 by 9 aspect ratio here too. Kirin 970 processor that is homemade by Huawei.
Right.
Android 8.1 with Huawei's EMUI in it. And actually, I should say
Emotion UI, right?
Emotion, yeah.
Emotion.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it's gotten better.
It's gotten a lot better. Fingerprint scanner on the bottom bezel. Yeah, so that's a thing that I find to be very curious considering Huawei, the fingerprint scanner you put on the back of the Nexus 6P was what brought me
and the Honor 8.
Yeah, that's what brought me to the rear fingerprint scanner in the first place was Huawei set the tone, and now to put it on the bottom, I don't know.
Well, keep going through the specs because that's going to continue to develop as we go through
yes,
this.
Yes, yes. And in addition, I mean, the thing is, you got to make room on the back of the phone when you're putting in a bunch of stuff, like three cameras. So this thing has got three cameras on the back, an RGB camera, which shoots at 40 megapixels, a monochrome camera, which shoots at 20 megapixels, and an 8 megapixel telephoto camera, which I can say from my own experience with Huawei devices is I think that this is a pretty compelling thing in that sense. Like a phone that does it all.
They didn't stop there though, because normally you get all the megapixels in the back and then the front because you're for your selfies kind of skimp. But what did they do on the front facing camera?
Well, they heard that I was planning on doing a gallery opening in 10 years, so they decided to put a 24 megapixel front facing camera on the P20
because
they have all that manufacturing prowess.
So this is insane. This is a $2,100 phone with. Wait, hang on. I'm doing the math. 92 megapixels combined in all of the phones.
That is how you market a phone.
So does this do 4K though, and RAW and all that other like higher end kind of?
I gotta imagine it, right?
I mean, I imagine it does. Considering the Honor, the Huawei Mate.
10 that's true.
I'm looking up the specs, but Flo, tell them about the colors it comes in.
Okay, so the colors are the thing that I was just really entranced with. So if you go Google this, for those who are not watching this stream, the colors are black, midnight blue, rose gold, and twilight, which is a beautiful purple to green shift. It is
nice.
So pretty.
Yeah,
I was just seeing everybody's Instagram photos of it today, and it's really pretty. And I love it when phone manufacturers do that sort of thing because I love a phone. I love a phone, and I love it in different colors. Yeah. So please, more colors. Although I'm sure it's expensive to manufacture.
So before
you're
we get to the
$2,100, that's fine.
but before we get to the more insanity, by the way, I love that twilight color, that purple to blue shift color. It's amazing. Victor, I threw in the chat, BGR.com had the full specs on it, and it does confirm on the Leica triple camera setup that it supports 4K and 960 FPS slow motion video recording.
There we go.
So that's just crazy town.
It's the same as the Galaxy S9, yes? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really slow.
So wait, so hang on. I'm sorry. We need to adjust. This phone is $1,116. So it's not $2,100. It's still a $1,000 flagship phone. But
so Flo read the wrong headline.
Yes. Well, no, because you're not wrong.
You're not wrong.
If you find yourself sitting there going, $1,000 is great, but I want to spend $2,000 on a phone. Then there's the second part of this that they announced. Flo,
the Porsche design, Huawei Mate RS. RS stands for Race Sport for $2,100. So again, just to reiterate for those, Flo should have said that the last phone, which is the Huawei P20, is $1,116 US dollars. By the way, that's launching April 6th. And if you're interested in spending $2,100, then you can purchase the Porsche design Huawei Mate RS. stands for Race Sport. This has 6-inch high-res display, 256 gigs of storage, in-screen fingerprint reader. Ooh, in-screen fingerprint reader.
They said they did it.
They did it.
And they did it.
Where's your in-screen fingerprint reader, Samsung?
But if they did it, why keep on reading? Why did they do something else?
They also put it on the back, just in case. Just in case you want that backup method.
So if you have a,
it's very confusing. That's all I got to say about that.
If you have an in-screen fingerprint reader, are you not confident enough in it to not, like, why would you have it on the back too? That's so weird.
You know, the more the merrier, right?
I guess so.
Yes. Also, there is one final little nail in the cash coffin, which is for $2,600, you can get the 512 gigabyte storage version.
Half a terabyte.
And also, you know, it's Porsche branded. So if you've got a Porsche, then you can, you know.
Well, yeah, clearly if you drive a Porsche, you have to get this phone.
Clearly.
Like you need to complete the entire Porsche branded experience.
You
also get one of those vinyl jackets with the Porsche logo. And
You think they would give him that?
Yeah. I feel like this is like 1988 excess.
I've seen the unboxing of the Porsche design phones. Unbox Therapy did one, and the box just looks like tremendous.
It's spectacular.
It's so nice.
I love a good
it's
box.
It's a beautiful presentation. I don't know about $2,100 worth, but it's still beautiful.
I'm just saying, if you see that, and that's when you got to think about it. When I'm opening the box, do I feel good in the decision I just made to spend thousands of dollars? And I will say, with the credit to dear Cupertino, is that when I have bought an Apple laptop, I have felt like, all right, this was worth $1,500 or whatever the heck spent for it. Yep. So I'll give you that one, Apple, for now.
Yeah.
For now.
But still, I really got to wonder. I mean, the 40 megapixel, 20 megapixel, 12 megapixel.
I want to use it so bad.
The triple phone combination.
I want to see what it can do. I want to see how it compares to the Pixel, especially because I've noticed since we've opened the Pixel core to other apps, like Instagram and Snapchat now, they're automatically correcting the lighting when I'm taking a photo. I love it. It's all very exciting. It's all very exciting.
I wonder what ISO is, like when you go into manual mode.
I think they had that in the specs.
It'll be somewhere on the internet.
I just want to know who came up, like, wait, how many megapixels can we, and isn't it like not megapixels, not the measurement? I don't know. I'm so confused.
Well, they have like DSLRs, aren't they? Like 60 megapixels or something insane like that. I mean, this is professional level editing we're talking about here.
Yeah, it all depends on what you're doing with your camera. If you're just taking shots of your kids or whatever, no one cares. But if you're like taking vista shots of the Grand Canyon and then zooming in on a very particular spot because it looks better in this kind of lighting.
Would you be able to zoom in? I mean, even with a telephoto, I mean, you don't have a lens situation.
But I'm saying like in post. Like if you use the 40 megapixel shot
that's true.
And then in post you use Lightroom or something else or something else on like a on the Chromebook tablet maybe. And then you zoom
in. Don't use it on the Chromebook tablet. Don't do it.
So listen to this. I just put in, Victor, I just put in another link in the chat over at petapixel.com.
Oh, yes.
The Huawei P20 Pro. The ISO is
102,400.
And it got a DxO mark score of 106, which is the highest ever. I didn't even know the DxO mark went higher than 100. So my mind is blown here.
Yeah, DxO mark isn't a 0 to 100 scale, but this is definitely the highest of smartphone cameras, that's for sure.
I thought DxO stopped at 100. That shows what I know. It's fine. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
DxO mark says it's a game changer and that the triple camera system isn't just a marketing gimmick. And they said, we're used to every new smartphone camera generation being slightly better than the previous one. But looking at the images and test results from the P20 Pro, it seems Huawei has skipped one or two generations.
But the fingerprint scanner's on the front, though.
So to give context, if you scroll all the way down, Victor, into that article, they have the rankings. And the Samsung Galaxy S9 Plus has a 99 DxO Mark score, and the Google Pixel 2 has a 98, and the iPhone X has a 97. So that gives you some context of the gap between the Huawei P20 Pro and the Huawei P20, which are over 100, which is just bananas.
Now we'll get to 120 by the end of this year with cameras.
Again, I just want to remind everybody, can't buy these in the United States.
Did they use a time machine to go in the future and get camera technology and bring it back?
Like, how is China?
I mean, are we looking at photos, Tate? Because those are some gorgeous photos.
These are beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
Even if they were processed in post, like the fact that you can do that is spectacular. Man,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That's so good. It's gorgeous.
I'm really enjoying.
We need Mateo or someone else to get their hands on this phone. We need to play with it. So. All right, there's your mission.
Mateo, call me. I need to send you some money.
He can his goat money on
that is
the phone.
Megapixels, folks. Megapixel phones.
Although, where am I going to get that much money?
We can pull it together. All the money that you're spending on.
Not have enough money even pulling it together. I'm going to tell you that
10
for
bucks
sure.
On me. Hold on.
All right, well. That's a good time.
Hey, got to make some money.
Sponsor.
Yeah, let's do it.
And let's thank our next sponsor. We want to thank Ring and the Ring Video Doorbell for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And if you guys haven't heard about Ring, it's amazing. Leo's got one. Jason's got one.
I've got one.
Flo's got one. Oh, great. Flo, we can chat about that in a moment. Stay tuned. Ring's mission is to make your neighborhood safer. And the Ring Video Doorbell lets you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone from anywhere. You can even share clips with your neighbors using the Ring app. And actually, if you pop over to twitter.com/ring, they post videos that people have captured with their Ring Video Doorbell. And they're actually pretty awesome. I mean, they're fun. It's a little slice of life. The Ring Video Doorbell is amazing. The Ring's floodlight and spotlight cam lets you build a ring of security around your entire property. Just like Ring's Video Doorbell, the floodlight cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that connects to your phone. With high visibility floodlights, HD video, and two-way audio, it lets you know the moment anyone steps onto your property. You can see and speak to visitors, even set off an alarm right from your phone. So when things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what it is. The Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in home security. Thieves just can't hide with Ring. And Flo, you mentioned you have Ring at home, right? Has it changed your life?
It has.
Yeah?
It has. It's great. I never answer the door now because I don't have to.
I like the Ring. The Ring neighborhood. So other people in the neighborhood, yes. If they get something, they could send a notification to your phone. And I'm like, who is that guy? That like three streets down or whatever. So you can keep an eye out.
It was probably me looking at your roses. Sorry.
That's it's, odd.
But it's really allowing the neighborhood to come together in the name of safety and also just protect your house and your property even better. I know Jason has it installed, and we've talked a lot about how, you know, it allows them to monitor for packages being delivered, or if someone comes to your house and it's not someone you recognize, you can keep your friends and family inside safe by being able to see it, or when you're not home, protect your home as well too. So Ring is awesome. I'm glad to see you guys have it. Jason has it too. It's awesome.
Poor cat.
It lets you, yeah, protect your cat. So Ring lets you monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security Kit, which includes the Ring Video Doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams. And connect your Ring Video Doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security, making the complete IoT home, which, Flo, you know a lot about, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So stop crying before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Save up to $150 on a Ring of Security Kit at ring.com/allaboutandroid. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. And you get $150 off when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Ring for making such great products, keeping our neighborhood safe, keeping our home safe, and helping to support the show. Thanks, Ring. ring.com/allaboutandroid. All right. So that said, let's get into the apps.
I'm not going to lie. I really think that LMFAO's shots would be great as apps, everybody.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So. But how does that relate to the next story?
It doesn't. It was just something that I was thinking. I think about
a new bumper, maybe.
I just think about it every week.
But it's also, yeah.
Because that's what I think about when the bumpers are rolling.
It's an old song. Listens to
anymore. They're not even together anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, and in fact, you right now, what you should do is go to YouTube on your phone and see if you have the new update that just rolled out to Android phones this week, which is dynamic. Now the YouTube app has a dynamic video player that automatically adjusts to content in different aspect ratios. So whether you're watching a vertical video or a square video, YouTube can help fix that for you. Naturally, it would go this route considering people like me upload their Snapchat feeds to YouTube because no one is seeing me on Snapchat anymore. Because Snapchat
are you purposely not reading the copy I wrote?
Oh, yes. I saw the copy you wrote.
I said that a tweet from YouTube confirmed this update and film died a little bit more. Because film is not meant to be videoed in vertical or square format.
Thank you.
I know. And yet I have a feeling that all of life's precious moments in the last 6 years have all been recorded in vertical video.
At least for me, I completely disagree with that.
I can't always hold my phone like this. All right.
It hurts my heart when I see people hold and Instagram has not helped it. Snapchat has not helped it. It is like there's an entire generations of us who went to film school.
Right.
Thank you. Thank
Verizon,
you, Tony.
I hate to quote Verizon, but go 90. Do this.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Do this.
Yes. Go 90 reference.
I don't work for them anymore.
By the way, that's the first time anybody has referenced Go 90, I think, on this
really?
Show.
It's like the first time I've ever said it in the past like two years. But no, seriously, do this. You know, if you have to throw this on there, this annoys
Or just never
out.
Use your phone is another thing.
I will say,
never use it.
I'd rather see people do this than hold up this to take pictures.
Oh, that's
well,
yes. See, that's
well,
my...
let's not go crazy, Tony. Yeah, you should not take video with your tablet. That's just
and I don't
listen. that's just the way some people like to do it.
We are enabling bad behavior by adapting our apps, and this is really going to hurt us in the long run. It is such a paradigm schism. Look at our monitors; they're horizontally oriented. You get more space.
You can turn them vertical if you need to.
But very few people do.
Just have to unscrew it and then move it and then adjust it and go into the settings and.
Maybe we should move over again.
In fact, I think next week the whole show should just be Ron in vertical mode.
It's disturbing. It's disturbing. Anyway, let's move on, please. So Google also made a recent – we're very light on apps news this week, but we're heavy on hardware, so that balances out. Google recently – this just was somewhat breaking news. I noticed this right before the show went on. Google updated the Movies app now to indicate when you look, in the Google Play Movies, kind of that dedicated – the red icon. When you look up a movie now – you can rent it and or buy it from Google and watch it, or it gives you options to view it, rent, or stream it from other services like Amazon Prime, Hulu, HBO Go, Showtime, and a whole bunch of cable networks like ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, HGTV, Comedy Central, etc. So Google is not just saying you only got to watch it here. They know that people watch in other spots, so they're looking for it. But curiously, one provider is missing, and that is Netflix. Which is weird, because at first I thought this is kind of like the Google Home thing, where they're acknowledging that people have apps on their phone and you're going to use other apps to manage media. But why cut Netflix out of this? That's very strange. So I know everyone hates Netflix.
Maybe it was the other way around. Netflix just didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and but HBO. And then I think about the fact that Netflix, you can access it from the Google Home app. I mean, it's a Google Home action. So why it's not here doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's an embedded thing.
Right.
It's strange. Anyway, I don't have the update. Otherwise, I was going to try and show it. But it has not rolled out to me yet.
Oh, I haven't tried it myself.
I like this. And also, I just noticed, by the way, The Last Jedi is for rent in the Google Play Store for $4.99. Do you have to
pay $20? You can save your money there.
Wow.
I'm just being incendiary.
Now I know how you feel about The Last Jedi. I liked it anyway.
Yeah, I don't have the update myself.
We really have no other app news.
Yeah, there's not a lot of app news. I mean, we did have in there the Android studio, the developer studio was upgraded to support a little more Kotlin stuff and things like that, but that's kind of boring. So I cut that out. Yeah. So let's get to the fun part of the show. And let's get into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Arena.
And by the way, I don't want to suggest that the rest of the show is not fun. It's just more, you know, the arena is a fun part of the show that we like to do. So
it's the pinnacle.
It does have QR codes, though.
It does have QR codes.
Thanks for mentioning that, Victor.
Wait a minute. Before we go into the arena, Tony in the chat and in the doc chat, we got some breaking news, actually, Victor.
That's true.
We do.
Yeah.
It's fun to munch a creamy, crunchy chocolate. O-R-E-O.
Breaking news.
I only bring this up, and I was I thought this is interesting because I just found out about this app a couple of days ago. Google has acquired the GIF platform Tenor for Android, iOS, and desktop. And for the past couple of weeks, my niece has been sending me GIFs with a little Tenor logo in it, and I was like, "What is that?" I felt very old, and turns out that Tenor is basically like a Giphy that the kids seem to love. And
the kids love.
Google has purchased it to help bring GIFs inside Google Images and Gboard more easily, and that Google notes that Tenor will remain a separate brand and the company will help Tenor find more content and API partners. So it doesn't sound like this is an acqui-hire. It just sounds like they liked what Tenor was doing and purchased them. So
as you do.
Interesting.
Cool. So, if I like what you're doing, I will purchase you.
The minions are happy too, so I'm happy. Yeah.
Oh, good breaking news. Fun times. See that GIF in the Google blog post is horizontal, not vertical. So there you go.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes. All right. So that said, let's go back into the arena. I think we need to go back into the entry.
Yes.
Again. Victor driving.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Let's go into the arena.
All right, I can never Flo, do that, Flo.
Do you want to do the results of last week, Flo?
The results of last week. How did we do last week? Last week was episode 361. And let's see. And I didn't actually vote, so I can't see. Let's see. I'm going to just like. Oh,
there you go.
Look at that.
Look at you.
Hey, I won last week.
Look at you. Flo.
Oh, no, I don't know if I influenced that. I'm just kidding.
You know what? I'd like to say you do have that much influence, Victor, and thank you.
Thanks, Flo. No, I'm glad
for that. So we've got Salt, Play Something New Every Day, which came in at 38% last week. We've got The Room 2, which was brought by our guest, Cody Toombs, at 32%. And we've got Ron, not least, but he is last with notification animations at 29%.
All right. So it looks as if Wade County is not in the chat room. So I'm going to do my best to try to figure out what that does. And it also looks like we are behind in the stats stuff. So we're just going to say that next week we'll update the
standings. We'll update you next week on the stats.
That means you have to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
So Ron, you get to go first this
week.
All right,
we'll go first.
And let me clean off my phone real quick so that I can show off your app.
So quite often, there are a lot of apps that we've just kind of conceded to Google and other services and things like that. Maps is one of them. I use Google Maps on the regular. But, you know, to be honest, lately the app has kind of been annoying me. There's some stuff I'm like, why is it doing that? And it should work better and blah, blah, blah. It's got a lot of information. So I've been looking for other, you know, kind of other maps providers. And sure enough, I stumbled upon this one called Live Roads, which seemed really interesting when I checked it out. It's free in the Google Play Store. And what Live Roads boasts is the ability to provide 3D mapping and 3D cars with your maps, as well as picture-in-picture, which I find really interesting because sometimes you want to know where the turn is coming, but you also want to know where you are in your route and your whole kind of thing. And Flo has really zoomed in on the 3D car.
You
can zoom right in it. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's not my car.
So Flo, if you tap the the marker on the lower right, that the lower right, the third from the top button, the colorful one, you can switch between the views. Hit it again. All right, so that is the standard kind of map view that we recognize from Google Maps, right? Mm-hmm. And here we've got a traffic filter on there, so you can see green and red for indicating where there's traffic. If you tap the second button there, the purple button, that triggers the picture-in-picture. Ooh. And what we get is we get a 3D view as well as the map, and that is really handy when you're driving. And I think that's really worth, you know, kind of noting in doing all this.
That is handy.
Watch Google Bible.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten lost going down the wrong way.
Right. Yeah. I think this kind of picture-in-picture kind of approach is really kind of clever. So when you hit the search button on the upper right-hand corner, it brings up – you can set your home address and your work address to make it easy. But also what it does is it bubbles up the gas station icon, parking icon, and food. Because when you're driving, usually those are the three most important things. And having those quick icons there that give you immediate results within your area of the nearest gas station, parking, or food is really somewhat clever.
Can you even save stuff?
Yeah, when you pick a location, you get this information menu. You get their open and close information, as well as you're able to save it or favorite it, and then you can set a route, and it will give you GPS navigation, and it's pretty good GPS navigation, if I do say so myself.
There we go.
So nice. and you still maintain that picture-in-picture. Pretty cool. Good. You know, makes you sometimes we want to rethink the apps we use on a daily basis. I think Maps deserves that thinking. So Live Roads is worth checking out. It's free in the Google Play Store. There is a if you hit the hamburger menu in the upper left-hand corner. There is a hit X, there you go, exit navigation. There is an option to where's the upgrade? Did you already pay for this?
No, these are the premium HD features.
Oh, there it is. Yes, so you are able to upgrade it for a 99-cent per month subscription, and that gets you all the stuff that you need. They also have, if you go back. Hit the back button and the hamburger menu button again. They do have a point system where you can earn points for different – you can share in the app, driving, reporting incidents, and then you can redeem points to get to pay for your service. So if you don't want to feel like paying the 99 cents, you can use these points to earn towards your subscription, which I think is very clever and slightly slightly gamifies it. So, so there you go. So that's Live Roads, free in the Google Play Store.
Bunk. Awesome. Thanks, Ron. That's a great app.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Tony.
Yes. Oh, it's my turn.
It's okay. Your turn.
Cool. So as a child of the 80s and 90s, I had to bring this app to the store.
I almost brought this app, by the
way. This, like, got me so excited. I'm going to turn it down just a little bit.
You can leave the volume a little bit if you want.
Just note that – I don't know if you guys can hear, but just note that this music is very much resemblance of the original game. Carmen Sandiego, now a mobile game called San Diego Incorporated. That's my head. Basically, if you've never seen this game – you are trying to find criminals around the world, but then you also get to learn about those certain places that you go to. So you are an agent.
That's how you learn geography. That's how we learn geography in the 90s.
I don't know geography that well, but I did learn certain things because of this game.
Yep.
I also learned an Oregon Trail, don't get bit by a snake. Now, moving on. You get a case. It doesn't necessarily mean much, but you can. It tells you about, like, what's going on. And it says when you need to arrest the person. There is an ad. So I was going to tell you when you need to arrest. And there's a lot of fingerprints. I'm sorry. So Italy is a home. Da, 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 da. So in the real game, you actually do have to go to different places and get certain clues about the person that you're trying to arrest. So you travel to a country with red, green, yellow flag. You can go to another place to get a little bit more clues about this individual that you're searching for. And had a picture of a Douala, and the person has color of chocolate. So in the warrant, you can say, okay, eyes color of chocolate, which is brown. And if there's anything else that you can fill out in the warrant, you can do that here too. Now, they wanted to go to a place that had red, yellow, and red, yellow flag? I forget what it was. But it could be any of these. I know it's not Argentina. Someone's going to kill me. I'm going to put South Africa here. So you have to get the person in question arrested by that certain date. But along your travels, you get to learn about the different places that you travel to. And it's obviously very like high level stuff. You don't get too low level, but it's just interesting and it's a lot of fun. This is the one time where I think vertical works because it is kind of a nice one-handed game. You can just do it on your off time. And over here with data, these are all the different suspects that you could be looking for. So
George Moonlight.
Yeah, these are great names. So again, very similar in nature to the original game that we had back in the day, and that theme music was awesome. I loved it. So I've been playing it off and on. I even had my son kind of mess around with it, and he laughed at how archaic it was. But from a nostalgic standpoint, I have fully enjoyed this. So yeah, it is free to download, and it's San Diego Incorporated. Go check it out.
Memory Lane. I like
it. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man. Do you guys remember the game show on, or the show?
The show?
On,
yes. Yeah. Where, oh, yeah. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Seriously, I played.
We all harmonized.
Where in the world and where in the U.S.? I played on my Apple II Plus like nonstop for years. It was great.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right, Flo, you are up.
All right. So, you know, every so often I like to use the arena as a platform to really bring to light the ways that we have changed our lives, the ways that smartphones and apps have changed our lives. And well, for me, you know, I don't go to the mall anymore. So how do I buy my clothing? I wake up every morning to a notification from Holook, and that's exactly how I bought the shirt that I'm wearing today.
There you go.
Jeez, wow.
Which is a nice velvet shirt, by the way. Anyway, so yes, I brought a shopping app today to the arena because first of all, Holook is owned by Nordstrom, and Nordstrom Rack has some of the best deals on all of the brands you love.
Yeah, they do.
So if you would like to save some money on things, I'm going to tell you that it is annoying to have this app blare at you every single day, but I have bought a lot of stuff. It's very cheap because of this, and I'm quite happy with shopping this way. And
is this relative cheap or cheap? Cheaper?
It's relative. It's cheap, like you know what you're getting at Nordstrom Rack.
Got
cheap.
It.
I mean,
okay.
It's like
so Nordstrom Rack prices.
You know, cool. It's like a shirt that you'd normally pay $65 for is probably on sale for $17.
That's still good
because it's from like a year really and a half good. Or 2 years ago. Yeah. I mean, this is how we shopped when I was a kid. We went to all the, you know, Nordstrom
outlets.
Rack
and
outlets. Mm-hmm. So Holook is essentially the outlet in app form. It's for men and women. It's for makeup if you want to buy cosmetics.
I do.
It's for things in the home. It's for kids' clothes. So the app itself is, Holook is the one that has the deals every day that gives you notifications. And you can actually go into the app and set your notifications so that it's not, it is not bothering you all the time. As far as I know, every day we'll have a different sale that will be featured on the main page. And then as you scroll through, you'll see all the other sales that are happening. Ooh, free shipping on classic ceramic ware. If you want to shop at Nordstrom Rack, then you can just hop over to the next tab, browse the clearance section. Look how cheap all this stuff is. I mean, come on, $35 for a pair of like nice wing tape boots. I'm in. It's perfect. If you're at the store, you can actually scan. You can use the app if you decide to physically go to the mess that is Nordstrom Rack on a Saturday afternoon. I don't go in there for a reason.
Yeah, good luck, seriously.
Yeah, it's like going to IKEA. You just don't do it. And of course, you can check on your cart. You know, it's consumerism at your fingertips right here. Holook.
Free shipping?
Free shipping, yeah.
All right.
Is it a Holook or
Holook? I always pronounce it Hote. That's how they pronounced it in the commercial.
Is it nougat?
Oh God!
I mean, it's true. I don't know. I don't know. But right. You know, it's the new way everybody's shopping now.
Holook. So. All right, so that's the arena for this week. Before you go vote, though, thanks to the chat room, the guys who scrambled in Wade County's absence, we do have a tally. Flo, Jason is now in last place with 27 points. Flo, you've moved into third place with 28 points on last week's win. I'm in second with 29 points. And Tony, representing the guests, still in first place with 33 points.
How does that feel?
It's a lot of pressure.
To know that you follow a lot of winners.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure. I'm pulling on the nostalgia, you know, strings here. Uh-huh. So come on.
So we can see if Flo will continue to climb the charts or if guests will continue their stranglehold on the charts. Go vote at bit.ly/AAApoll362. That's bit.ly/AAApoll362.
I know what Victor's going to vote for, I think. I think
Victor's
I know.
He's going to vote for Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, that's what I thought too.
Good job.
Nice.
Interesting.
So we'll see.
You're looking for a new Maps app, huh, Victor?
It is.
Not satisfied with your old ways?
He drives a lot. He needs a good map.
No, I've been getting annoyed with Android Auto lately, so.
Wow, there you go.
Or that too.
Yeah.
I wonder if Live Roads works with Android Auto.
Next week's discussion. Yeah, good question.
But, all right, well, before we say goodbye to Tony, I want to remind everybody, stay tuned to the end of this episode if you're watching the video for our Oreo tasting, where we taste Easter-themed Peeps Oreos. It's a fun time.
For the Catholics and the Protestants.
Yep, there it is. All right. Well, Flo, let's
because they celebrate Easter this weekend. I don't. I celebrate it in 2 weeks because I'm Orthodox.
See?
Anyway, all right.
Thank you, JJ, who's also Orthodox. We have that in common.
Tony, thank you for visiting.
Yes, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
What do you want to plug today, Tony?
So we just launched our website. I know I said that about a year ago, but we like relaunched it. So lazytech.tv.
That's awesome.
We just got back, or rather I just got back from GDC, which was a mess of just like coordination and everything, but it was a lot of fun. So we have a lot of videos on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/lazytechtv. If you just type that into Google, like all the stuff that comes back to us will like be at your fingertips. So yeah, go check those out. And yeah, it's been great to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yay.
Ron, thanks for all your help today.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. I love having Tony on the show. It's always a fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a fun time. All right, you can go to Twitter or to Instagram. You can follow me at RonXO, where I post my personal brand of nonsense. And yeah, I'm working on stuff. I know I've been so, like Tony, like you say, you know, a year ago I said you launched a new website. A year ago I was saying I was working on stuff, but I'm working on a really cool hardware project that today we were talking about the rollout of it. And so I think like in May I'll be able to talk about it. So excited to share that with everybody. So keep following me on Twitter and you won't miss a thing. And I just love being on All About Android, Flo. I'm looking forward to this all day.
I got scared for a minute because JJ said he's celebrating Easter this weekend.
There it is.
So I had to go check to make sure.
All right, enough of the religion. I know we did the peeps, but enough.
The peeps are very delicious. I guess it's my turn. Is it my
turn?
It is you.
Yes.
No, it's not my turn. Victor, it's your turn.
Oh, Victor. Yes, Victor.
Victor, thank you for helping us today. Thank you for all your help and for being here today and for being your wonderful self.
Good work,
PJ. Like Ron, I love All About Android.
Did you just call him? What did you call him?
Victor.
What did I miss?
Move on. Yes, and. Yes, and.
Anyway, yes, and. As for me, well, I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm not going to be around for a while. So nice seeing you guys. But I do have a story for I'm writing for Engadget now. So if you would like to see an article I just put up, or that was just put up last week, I wrote about Google Smart Sound and talked to a couple of audio professionals about AI and sound, you know, the topics of our generation. Pivotal topics of our generation. That's it for this week. We want to thank everybody for joining us this week so much. Jason will be back next week here on the hot seat. Until then, you can leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. If you have a question for us, or maybe you just want to say hi, you could send an email at AAA@twit.tv. We love to read your emails. You can send us a tweet at Android Show on Twitter. We read those as well. The Arena Apps list is available at twit.to/Android apps, and stats are also available at twit.to/Arena stats. Show notes and past episodes are at twit.tv/AAA. You can come and watch the show live if you like here in Petaluma. All you have to do is email us at tickets@twit.tv so we know to put a chair out for you. And you can catch us live on the internet every Tuesday starting at around 5 p.m. Pacific. Every Tuesday at twit.tv/live. That's it for today. That's it for this week. Until next week, have a wonderful week. And so long.
Bye.
Hey, Android.
So this week's Oreo tasting is in light of the fact that this coming weekend is Easter weekend.
For some people.
The Easter holiday is this coming Sunday. And so because of that, we have both here in New York City as well as in Petaluma, Peeps Oreos. Right, Flo?
You've Variants. Got some Peeps? I have a different variant.
Yeah, pink and purple.
Pink and purple.
Yeah, so what I've got is it appears I have chocolate sandwich cookies with purple marshmallow filling. And Flo, what do you have on your end?
These are limited edition. I think it's the vanilla flavor, the blonde cookie with the pink marshmallow Peeps flavor cream.
All right. Well, I've opened my package.
Oh boy, that's hot pink.
It's tough. Yeah. Wow.
That is.
And this is a very muted purple, to be honest with you. It's not nearly as hot as your pink. It's a muted.
It's
purple.
Not.
Yeah.
All right.
It's supposed to be a marshmallow filling, not the usual Oreo cream filling.
Right.
So, and on the side of it, I have a little art of a little Peep.
No art.
So mine has no art. No art on mine. Great.
All right. let's ignore the chat room and take a bite. Let's find out what happens.
Slit down, by the way. That fell slit down. All right.
Oh, all right, let's try it. Let's go silent as we try our Oreo. You know what? That's better than I thought it would be.
I agree on my end as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though yours are last year's model, apparently. I didn't want to say anything.
You know what? It's fine. Somebody's got these. The pink Ron, flesh. Do you notice a crunch when you bite into the marshmallow filling?
That would be because the ones you're eating are a year old. There is no crunch on my marshmallow filling because these are about
like
a month old.
I didn't have a crunch. Nope, no subtle crunch or anything.
Flo, Peeps aren't supposed to crunch. They're marshmallows.
They're not.
They only crunch when they're old and stale.
Wow.
The Peeps have a very soft outer coating. However, it's not supposed to crunch.
I am getting a very metallic aftertaste.
No metallic aftertaste here, I will say.
You should get 911 on the phone, just in case. Just have it ready.
All right.
Metallic. No.
Ours were not metallic. They were actually...
So ours,
I actually liked them.
Ours were supposed to be vanilla?
The blonde cookie, whatever the blonde cookie is. Okay.
And Ron, yours was supposed to taste like purple?
Or chocolate?
Yeah, chocolate cookie with purple marshmallow filling.
Yeah.
Did you guys discuss like what actually is Oreo an actual cookie or because I know there's
a state of mind or what?
Or like a treat sandwich. I know those are like some of the two.
It's a cookie, dude.
Okay.
It's a cookie. Let's not be around this.
There's a whole debate on Reddit. It's funny. Go check it out.
Okay. all right. Let's rate them. Rating. Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your Peep? Your Peep Oreo.
I give it an 8.
Yeah, I give it an 8 as well. Yeah. That was pretty good.
It was good.
I would eat a couple more.
Slightly too sweet. I generally eat like maybe 5 or 6 Oreos at once because I'm a glutton. But I also have kids, so I blame them. But this one, a little bit too sweet for my taste.
You wouldn't do a whole sleeve.
I wouldn't do a whole sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Ron? East Coast contingent?
I'm going to go 8 as well. I get a solid 8s across the board. Yeah. The old triple 8.
Yeah.
Triple eights.
So. Which means it's a little bit more than what some of the other have been.
Yeah. Here's the thing is that the interior of the Oreo is supposed to be marshmallow Peep. Well, here's the difference. I read the box and I was like, oh, Peeps. And I thought it was marshmallow in between the cookies. But as I look closer at the packaging, it is Marshmallow Peeps flavor cream.
Oh,
so it's still just cream. Flavored. It's not actually marshmallow, but it's supposed to be flavored like marshmallow. And because of that, I'm going to knock it down to a 7.
All right. That's fair.
There it is.
That's pretty reasonable because the key phrase, I think, that you said, Ron, was better than I thought it was going to be. And I think that usually starts at 6 or 7, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's so a good gauge, Victor.
I'm going to go 7.5. Final answer, 7.5. So, all right. Cool. All right, well, make sure you go to twit.to/Oreo to keep track of all of our ratings. I liked how this week's Oreo entry was rumored to be Peeps. I'm glad that we delivered on that rumor. So, all right.